Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast, two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and today is Sunday, April 23rd, 2017, and you're listening to episode 15.
Shit, yeah. I was, like, recording better on a Sunday. Like, I haven't had to work all day, then come home and record the podcast. Not that I don't like recording it, but I just feel like I'm always more focused when I've had the day off and I've been able to collect my thoughts, so I have some good shit to tell to our listeners when we go to record.
Yeah, it's nice to come in, you know, on a day where you really, I mean, even if you're busy, I mean, we just had company and they left a little while ago, but still at the same time, you're should hopefully be a little bit more relaxed. You haven't, like you said, you haven't been at the office all day and you've had a little bit of time to mull a few things over and get ready. So glad to be here.
Yeah, me too. Although an argument could be made that I took Harrison to soccer for his last soccer kind of, he's three, so it's not really a game, but took him to soccer practice.
Ball.
Yeah, run around, kick the ball, don't listen to anybody. That he does, you know, once a week for an hour, if we make it the hour, which today we did not. So left around 9:30 for that, came home, ate lunch, went to Colin's soccer game, went directly to my father-in-law's, helped him put up a new ceiling fan in their great room, came home, kids, parenting, and now I'm here. So I literally, like, haven't stopped all day today.
Yeah, very similar here. You know, I spent the day going around and doing some shopping, got myself a new Nationals hat, did a little bit of groceries, stepdaughter soccer game, had family over for dinner. So it's been a busy day, but at the same time, it was more relaxing than it was, you know, spending the entire day, you know, at work. And I got, you know, in the car, got a few times to think about what to go over tonight, and I'm ready to roll.
Good stuff. So you're not wearing your Nationals hat, but it would match your shirt.
I do have a bright red shirt on today. I'm glad you noticed. I was going to wear my my traditional trademark white T-shirt today, but I figured in the spirit of the event of tonight, being recording the show, that I would wear my brand new The Two Bobs Podcast T-shirt, which, as you pointed out, is quite red. And I posted a picture of it earlier on Instagram in my very uncomfortable selfie, so probably the fourth selfie I've ever taken. So if it looked that way, that was not by design. That's just how it worked out.
So I do now. I do have a confession. I have a Two Bobs T-shirt. Mine's a dark blue color, so it's a little bit different than yours. But it got caught in the laundry today. It didn't get moved over to the dryer in time, so it's still literally just tumbling around in the dryer right now. So I'm wearing a Tigers T-shirt instead, as I usually do anyway. So
well, if this were a video podcast, which I think eventually we'll get to that realm where we have more video, but I think, you know, in this case, since nobody's really seeing us, it's just you and me. Hey, one day we'll be on video and we'll both be wearing our shirts at the same time.
Yeah, I'm way past the point of giving a shit what you look like, Robert. I gotta tell you.
Well, that's probably good. So what else is going on? How are the Tigers doing? I mean, I see your boy got a bloodied face yesterday or the night before. I saw it this morning on my favorite quick pitch. So
yeah, Jacoby Jones took a 90 miles per hour fastball to the face yesterday. Luckily, he still has all of his teeth. He got, I think, 9 stitches in his lip, so he's got a fat lip, but he ate somewhat of a normal dinner yesterday from what the interview said, so he's doing all right. But, I mean, at the same time, we have Miguel Cabrera out with, a 10-day DL
yep.
with a groin injury. We have J.D. Martinez, who's been out the entire season so far, and he's a force both at the plate and in the outfield for us, so I do miss him. We have Iglesias, who's out on a 7-day DL because of a concussion. So we got a lot of good players out right now. That being said, though, we just won our series today against the Twins. So we went 2 out of 3 against the Twins, which isn't bad. So yesterday, even though Jacoby got the Jacoby left the game earlier, literally ran off the field as soon as he got hit. Aside from that. We still did all right last couple days, so
that's good.
We're not, but at the same time, the damn Indians have been on a tear. I think they went five. I think they were in a 5-game streak and then just lost today. So we're actually tied in the Central Division against the Indians right now. But nobody seems to be doing as well as your Nationals. I got to tell you, They are hot right now.
Yeah, they're looking good. We've had some good games the last few, and I think we finally figured out the right combination for the bullpen. After last week, I said they were, I probably used the word shitty, but they've got, you know, just again, just move people around, change the closer to closer by committee between two guys. You know, that should probably help, I think, just finding the right pattern of guys to put in and when. And Dusty, so far over the last few games, you know, we haven't given up any runs with the bullpen. So I'm optimistic. But, yeah, we're at 12-5, and, you know, we got to beat the Phillies. And I say that knowing that listener Lori A. out there is a big Phillies fan. And the Nats are going to roll on you next time, Lori. We saw that video of Jacoby Jones get hit in the face, and brings us back to one of my son's T-ball games a couple seasons ago, where the kid was playing pitcher, and a kid that actually could hit pretty well off the tee hit him just square in the lip. So it was the same kind of thing. I mean, his face swell up, put some ice on it. And it was funny because I said, Ben, I said, hey, that's the same thing that happened to your teammate. And he goes, well, no, it's not the same, because that guy actually had to leave, whereas, you know, my teammate actually just only had to sit in the dugout with a little bit of ice on his face. But, I mean, that his lip was huge. And I saw him at school later on that week when I went to volunteer, and it was still big, a few days later. So it's a tough sport. You know, I tell him you got to pay attention at all times. You need to know where that ball is. So they'll get there.
Yep. It's no crying in baseball.
Now, and speaking of no crying, I've been having to do a little bit of crying myself this week, you know, after last week talking about the control issues, as you gently pointed out that I might have those issues.
I didn't say you have an issue with controlling.
You said I like to control.
You like to be in control.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Well, I do, and Melissa brought it up later on. Let's see, we recorded Monday, show came out Tuesday, so it was probably Tuesday night or Wednesday when she had a chance to listen to it and got to that part, and she backed you up. She said, yeah, you do like to do that.
I knew she'd look out for me.
Yeah. The other thing I have a hard time with is being wrong, and I think you've probably seen a little bit of that as well. And one of those did come up this week, and I have an example of another time that came up that I think when she hears it, she'll get a kick out of it. But it kind of just goes to the same thing with having to control and being right. And my son's baseball team is the Red Sox, so you know, we were just trying to decide about what, you know, what colors the jerseys were going to be and the hat and all that. And being here, not in Boston, we were talking about the hat, and I usually, depend on the team that he's going to be playing on, I like to order a hat so that I have, you know, the proud dad hat of whatever the team is. So I went to go order the Red Sox, but they've got two. They've got one with a big B on it for Boston. They've got one with the alternate hat, which has the Red Sox. So I'm thinking it's going to be that, but I don't want to order it for, you know, $30 before I get a chance to see what his actually looks like in case there's a different color. And she's like, oh, it's going to be the B. And I was like, you know, I was like adamant, no, it's not going to be the B. This isn't Boston. And, you know, I'm not like a jackass because she knew I was kidding. But at the same time, well, guess what they look like?
I'm going to guess it has a big B on it.
It has a big red B on it. So I had to eat a little bit of crow. But that's okay. You know, I admit it. And she was right. So she didn't put me up to saying that, but she was.
You know, we got to throw our wives a bone every once in a while, right?
That's true. One thing I do know that you'll get a kick out of is, and I've got audio of it, but a couple years back, another time that really got me caught with her was we were watching The Office, and there's a particular episode that I'll play for you. But anyhow, we were watching the episode, and she mentioned it later on, and we had finished watching it, so it wasn't like I could just see that, no, that's not what it is. But there was an episode of The Office where they were doing something, and I went to go reenact what they were doing. And I was jumping all around, and I was, you know, rolling around on the ground. I kept saying, hardcore, hardcore. And she's like, well, it's not hardcore. It's parkour. I was like, no, it's not. It's not parkour. Man. It's hardcore.
So, I'm disappointed you got that wrong.
Well, here's the clip.
Parkour!
So
parkour!
Parkour. So if you remember this episode, though, they're just kind of like, I think it's Michael and Dwight, yep, and Andy
yes.
are just running around the office doing what's called parkour, which, you know, it was all the rage a couple yeah. years ago on social media where, you know, it's basically getting from point A to point B
yeah.
as ridiculously as possible. So, you know, if that means running up a wall or doing flips or doing other crazy things or ridiculous jumps into somersaults and rolls, that's pretty much what parkour is. It's how to get from A to B as creatively as possible. But of course, they're not athletic people, so they're just, you know, they're just...
No, they're not like us. I mean, I would have called it hardcore based on just my athletic build and type, you know? It's, for me, it's hardcore.
To your credit, they do at some point in that clip say hardcore parkour, though.
Oh, see? So maybe that's what I heard. I was pretty adamant. That, no, you're wrong. A little bit more of a, you know, peeling back another layer of the onion as our listeners get to understand who I am and who you are as we do this. So it was a perfect opportunity to bring that one up since it's not often, but I was wrong again. Maybe the last time was when The Office was on. So, you know, maybe that's a good streak. I'm sure there weren't any other times in between.
I'd love to share, but I don't remember the last time I was wrong.
See?
Shit. I'll ask Kelly in the next week.
Have her call in.
I'll report on what I, last time I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that if she called in and leaves an example of what it would be, that would probably be the best thing. That way we can all hear it at the same time, you know?
Now, Robert, how would she do that, though?
Yeah, I noticed that she had a phone number.
Yes, we do. She could call in to 530-882-BOBS.
That is 530-882-2627 for the elderly listeners that don't know how to match the letters up to the numbers on the keys because the letters are too small.
That's true. One thing I'd like to do that we haven't done in a while is to make sure that people, if they could, just to make sure to share the show with your friends. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then just the general website, thetwobobs.com. So we would certainly be grateful if you would share the show with your friends and help us continue to build on what we've done so far.
For sure. I mean, we're whoring around social media all week long. So, I mean, you know, when you see one of those things, click the share button or click the retweet button or... you know, anything you can do just to kind of let your friends know, you know, you don't have to do it every time, but if you see something you kind of like, go ahead and share it with your friends and, you know, hopefully we can get a couple listeners and get you and your friends something to talk about too.
And the feedback is good too. This week I had a chance to chat with Lori, who I mentioned earlier, that's the Phillies fan, and she said that she really likes listening to the show and she looks forward to it and try to give me some ideas of things that she liked or didn't like. And that's really helpful for us. You can certainly send that to us by email rather than posting it publicly. Just, you know, what you liked, what you didn't. If you have any suggestions or things to talk about, we'd certainly be open to those. The other thing, too, that's funny that came up earlier when we had family over, my sister-in-law mentioned that she had been listening, which, you know, I didn't really press her about it. She brought it up, and that she really liked the Jelly Bean episode. So those kind of things are good for us to hear and just, you know what we're doing right. And again, if there's anything that you think might be helpful for us to work on or things that you'd like to hear us talk about, let us know. We're all ears. The show's for everybody, not just us.
Love to hear from you.
All right. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's talk about what we're drinking tonight.
Bananas.
It's a fruity night, I think. So what you got over there? I saw you sipping it. That's one that I've had too that I think I'm going to need to get some more.
This is another first for me. This is the Wells Banana Bread Beer by Charles Wells out of Bedford, United Kingdom. It's basically a banana bread beer. I don't know what the hell else to tell you about it. Well, I do have more information.
It's darker. I mean, I know you're drinking out of the bottle, which is very dark and covered with a giant label, but it's not really an ale. It's more of a porter, right? Or is it a stout type?
Yeah, it's lighter than it's dark, but it's light. I liken it more to an amber, honestly, than anything else. It's not quite as dark as a porter or a stout, so it's not quite as heavy, but it's pretty good. And I do have some information for you about this delicious beer, which tastes like banana. This unique brew combines all the traditional qualities and style of a Charles Wells beer with the subtle flavor of banana. Wells Banana Bread Beer is a popular beer in the Wells and Young's range of ales. It does say ales. And has achieved a number of accolades. Available as a draught season cask beer, Wells Banana Bread Beer can be found on the bar and in its popular bottle format in all leading supermarkets. I can't say that I can find it in all leading supermarkets here in the United States, but in the United Kingdom, apparently it's quite popular. So again, it's 5.2% alcohol by volume. The tasting note says tempting banoffee aromas, tempered by a grassy lemony nose, all leading to a finely balanced, fresh, delicate flavor of peppery hops with a lingering dry finish. It's pretty good. I like it a lot, actually. You can definitely taste the banana. It doesn't hit you right when you're drinking it, but as soon as you're done drinking it, you can smell the aroma and the notes from the banana, and it's recommended. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I see the picture here on the website, and you're right, it's more of an orange color, which I don't know why I thought it was dark, but I think I've been trying a lot more of the darker beers lately, so I probably just got that on my mind. But I've seen that. I actually saw a bottle, I think it was at Norm's last week when I went, and I remembered you had some but hadn't had it yet, so maybe I'll go back and try it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely darker than the Bud Light I choked down at my father-in-law's house today. I mean, you know, we discussed on the show before, if it's free, I'm not picky, but at the same time, you know, he handed me a beer. It was a Bud Light. I drank like one and a half, almost two of them, and you know, I was busy helping him with some things around his house, putting up a ceiling fan, so you know, I took the free beer.
It's a nice reward still.
Yeah,
can't be picky.
I appreciate it. I'm pretty sure it was old too, but you know.
It tasted like it's been sitting out in the sun, right?
I mean, I think it tastes like that fresh out of the bottle anyway, but nonetheless.
Skunky.
So what are you drinking?
I've got a Flying Dog Bloodline Blood Orange IPA. And I did get this at Norm's as well, and they had a couple other ones that were the Blood Orange, but this one I grabbed because I'm familiar with Flying Dog. I've had a bunch of their offerings, and I like it. Last week we talked about that I like to wait, and this time I actually started drinking it early just to get the taste of it, so I'm half done. But I like this quite a bit, and it does taste, if you've ever had a Blood Orange, it's got that
bitter.
Same kind of color. Yeah, a little bit of bitter, but it's got an orange taste to it, so it's not quite like, you know, some of the IPAs where you feel like you're drinking a grapefruit juice. This is more along the lines of an orange juice type feel to it. So I could see this being something that I would buy more of and keeping in the refrigerator, but it's got a nice orange, just darkest orange color to it.
Nice.
But the information here says on their website, it says, "What brings us together as brethren of craft beer is an innate bitterness that runs through our veins, creating a thirst that can only be quenched by an all-out assault on our taste buds. An intense love of the craft. Brewed exclusively for the 2013 Craft Brewers Conference, Bloodline is an intensely hopped IPA brewed with blood orange peel and juice. According to our brewmaster, Matt Brophy, the result is a flavor profile that harnessed the best aspects of both the hops, Warrior, Citra, and Galaxy, and the citrus. He and his brewing team are very fond of hop-based citrus aromas, so experimenting with actual citrus was a natural extension of that." And I know that says 2013, but this is something, it looks like it's a new release and a limited, although the comments on the website say 2016, but I think it's probably a seasonal or something that's maybe a limited release, because it doesn't taste like it's old. So if it's from last year, I sure can't tell.
I mean, it's still July this year, so
yeah.
Usually it's about 180 days, right, for beer.
Yeah,
most beers is about 180 days, so 6 months. So I mean,
yeah,
you know, you're not that far off. You'll be all right.
Well, yeah, it says last year. I mean, it says starting March 26th, so that's about a month ago. So between that and early July, yeah, maybe it is just such a limited type release. But I like it quite a bit, and I'm curious to try the other Blood Orange IPAs that I saw that he had on the shelf. So
looks good.
Might be swinging back.
Well, shit, this banana bread beer is only good till 5-7, so shit, I'm glad I'm drinking it now.
The milk and the eggs are what's going to go bad in yours. I don't know what's going to go bad in mine.
The hops? Do hops go bad? It'll just start tasting shitty. It doesn't matter what part's shitty.
Yeah, you're going to know when you start to drink it if it's bad, and this is definitely not bad.
So where can people find out what beers we've been drinking?
Ah, good question. We're both on Untappd, which is UNTAPPD, and that's an app for iPhone and Android, and they do have a web interface, but I'm available at RobertK328, and you are at?
I'm at PhilRoberts33. So while we're on the subject of beer, you know, in some previous episode we talked about, you know, kind of our beer getting skunked, and it's not so much the age of the beer as much as whether it's been exposed to sunlight, and that's why a lot of times that breweries will use cans, or if the glass bottles are a darker shade of glass in order to keep the sun from penetrating the beer as much. But there's an article on Thrillist, and I sent that over to you, Robert, but yep. It talks about 10 beer myths you should stop believing. So I think we owe it to our audience to talk about these so they can better understand the myths surrounding beer.
Well, it's funny in the very first item that's listed here, and if you remember back to last week, the beer that I had said it's best served, and it gave a temperature range. It's interesting to me that I read that part about how it's got to be at a particular, or they recommended a particular temperature, and then for the very first item on this list to be serving at a temperature, and I mean, a lot like this, I always thought that it's just got to be as cold as can be, and I think even my Untappd profile says, ice cold or as cold as it gets or something like that, and that's how I tend to like it. But based on reading this, it seems like it really takes some of the taste away out of the beer because it's served so cold and pushes the flavor profile, beyond really where the brewer intended it to be.
Well, and most of the time, I think it's because these macro breweries out there, like your Coors, and I know the signature Coors cans that the mountains change colors to let you know that it's, right almost to frozen, but not quite yet. So I think it's the piss tasting lagers and all, these other pilsners that these macro breweries are pushing out on America. Because when you serve it really cold, it numbs the palate. I think it makes it, you can drink more.
Right.
And they're all about numbers. And that's why, Bud Light is the number one beer in America. It's because, it's priced cheaply. But even my brother-in-law mentioned earlier today, because we were drinking Bud Light at my father-in-law's house. And he goes, and I'm like, honestly, I don't remember the last time I drank Bud Light, but it's free, so I'm going to take it. And we're helping Dad out. And he goes, honestly, the only time I drink Bud Light is when I'm going for numbers. So if he's, if he's just in that like party mode, they don't have kids, so he still can do that sometimes. But if he's going to party and drink a lot of the times, it's the Bud Light because it's cheaper and you serve it really cold. You can push a bunch down, shove a bunch down your gullet in a short amount of time. So, yeah, and I agree. I think that beer, a little bit cold, slightly chilled, but good beer, I think, just like wine, tastes the best when it's just slightly chilled and not too cold.
Yeah, well, that's actually funny too, because there's another website that I read, and somebody was putting their beer. That's a very similar thing to Untappd, but it's a Facebook group, and they're showing the different beers that they're drinking. And the guy had a picture a lot like the pictures that I put on Untappd. He had a picture of his mug next to the bottle, and the mug looked like it had been in the freezer. It was frosted, and the comment was about, why are you doing that? It's only going to make the beer taste bad, or it's going to be, it's not going to be correct or as good as it could be because he's putting it in and he's basically chilling it down more than it should be. So
sure.
That really brings it all full circle. So I'll have to try to see if I can, see if there's any difference. Maybe I'll like it better if it's been sitting out a little bit. And, this Bloodline that I've had has been sitting out for, almost an hour now. I got here, 55 minutes ago, and it still tastes really good. I don't know what the temperature is, but
I'm going to start microwaving my beer before I drink it.
Once it starts to bubble, it's done.
Yeah, put it in a pan and just, put it under medium heat for, 10, 15 minutes before I drink it.
That's right. Caramelize it. That's when it is acceptable to say caramelize. It. Yeah, when you're actually doing something.
No, I caramelize my stuff like that.
Nah, you're just jerking my chain.
Caramelized onions. So another myth here, beer is...
I'm relieved to see this one, by the way.
Beer is to blame for your beer belly.
It's a myth, right?
Okay, it's fine. It's possible that beer was the culprit for that spare tire, but beer gets an outsized share of the blame when it comes to weight gain. I think people generally, if they have a belly, they say, yep, drink too much beer. It's not, you're a fat ass and you eat that, you eat too much shit, like just like I do. So I'm not going to blame my beer for my beer belly, but...
But you figure out what you're normally doing when you're drinking beer. It's either, I'll drink it if I'm sitting there watching 3 hours of baseball.
Sure.
But if I'm at a baseball game or if I'm out somewhere, it's usually with nachos, buffalo wings, sliders, mozzarella cheese sticks, any of that kind of thing that really adds a lot more calories to it. If you're just drinking one beer on a Sunday, before recording a show, then, that's probably okay. But if you're drinking multiple and you're eating all this other stuff with it, then, that's thousands of calories that you're putting down your throat, and that's what's going to do it.
So I think overall it's just a pretty relatively poor indicator of weight gain. And I think it's an excuse for fat people just to, you know, to blame their belly on something
right.
else.
Well, you know, I also have to realize what we're drinking basically is fruit. I mean, yours is bananas, mine's orange. So, I mean, I would say that most doctors would say that what we're doing is good for us here. This is vitamin C.
I think most doctors would recommend 3 to 5 servings of this on a daily basis.
Probably.
At least. What's next on the list?
Well, number 3.
You drink I'm going to drink my beer while you talk this.
The third beer myth that you should stop believing is lagers are light and flavorless. Just as ales have plenty of lighter styles, lagers have light varieties too. Ales aren't just cream ales, pale ales, and wit beer, and you shouldn't limit your lager options to macros. Looking for a lager with more flavor? Try Doppelbock's Rotbier and Baltic Porters. So I do have one of those in the refrigerator too, although I have no idea what a Baltic Porter is. But
no, not all ales are light and flavorless. All pilsners are light and flavorless.
That's true.
Let's get it right.
So yeah, we could have written that one ourselves.
I think we could write this entire article ourselves.
What the next one? I think we'll both like, since I've been venturing this way quite a bit more recently too.
Yeah, and that's the myth that dark beers always have a high alcohol by volume. So just because the caption says just because a beer is dark does not mean it will be higher in alcohol. In fact, I bet that IPA you're drinking is close to twice as strong as the oatmeal stout you passed up over fears of it being too high in alcohol. And I mean, that is true. Like, this is a 5.2, and granted, it's a little bit lighter of a beer than what I normally drink. But I mean, I can go to some of these porters and things like that, and they're all right in that. Some have more, but most of the beer that I drink, which is mostly dark, is in that like 5 to 6% alcohol by volume range.
Yeah, well, that's true. The I actually got yesterday on Untappd. I was drinking a Boulevard Brewing Company early rise coffee porter, and the badge that I got was called Riding Steady, and that badge had something to do with, you know, the lower alcohol volume, and that one that I had was 5%, so I guess that's probably the tip of the low volume, or, you know, towards the higher end of where it would be. But, you know, that's actually fairly low for a lot of these beers.
Yeah, I think so too. So what's next?
All right. The next myth is that bottled beer is better than canned. And I know we talked about that a bit last week, but it says, for decades, glass bottles were reserved for the privileged class of the beer drinking world, while proletariats drank beer from a can. Nowadays, as most craft beer consumers have surely noticed, that trend is changing, albeit slowly. And that's true. I mean, there are some that I've gotten. I mean, there's a local brewery here in D.C. called D.C. Brau, D-C-B-R-A-U. And all their beer is pretty much available in cans if you don't get it on tap. So that's not surprising at all. And those, I think we talked about too, that I tend to put those in the glass. That's also one of the ones that I was getting that Melissa was surprised that I was getting them in the can, but that's all that they're available. So they serve them a lot at Nat's Park. So that's where I got to taste them. And I liked them a good bit. So I started buying more, and that's when she was really surprised to see cans, but I guess they believe in the cans more than the bottle.
Well, yeah, just like the milkshake stout that I drank last week, was from Rochester Mills, and I've never seen a Rochester Mills beer. They have great beer. They have a wide selection of local craft beer, and I've never seen any of their stuff in a glass bottle. It's all in cans. But that being said, I mean, most of the stuff I drink is out of a glass bottle, so I think the trend is still in favor of glass bottles, but certainly I think we'll start seeing more and more move to cans, especially because, you know, I think packaging, just being able to ship and things like that. I'm sure there's a cost benefit to using cans for them as well. So,
but yeah, the article also says the extremely important paradigm shift in the choice of vessel for our hot blessed hooch can be summed up with a simple mathematical equation. Beer plus sun equals skunk.
True.
And that's a lot when we didn't read these last week, but a lot like what you said was having the beer come in contact with the rays from the sun can skunk it. So I guess the beer, the light doesn't get through the can as much as it does in the bottle, no matter how dark it is. So it does protect it a bit more. So that's interesting for sure.
Yeah. Next myth is beer before liquor, never been sicker. I'm sure you've heard of that. Or the flip side is, liquor before beer, you're in the clear. So the argument usually for this is that if you drink the beer first, No. I'm sorry. If you drink the liquor first and then follow it by beer, liquor is lighter than beer, so it churns up in your stomach more.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to make you queasy and make you sick. But this says, this was my mantra in college. I repeated it to myself many times before heading out to party. It suggests that the order in which you consume alcohol drinks will determine your well-being the next day. Could it be that ending with the higher alcohol by volume drink causes bad decisions? I think quantity has a lot more to do with it than the order in which you consume them. I don't know if that's true or not, to be honest with you. According to this, it's a myth, though. So, you know, I'll buy anything on the internet.
Yeah, I don't tend to mix a lot of that stuff anyway. Although from time to time, I'll, you know, if we're having dinner and I'll have some wine and then maybe a beer later, or usually wine, maybe a martini, you know, or something like that. That's not a complete mix or a complete, you know, opposite. So I don't know. I've never had any issues with it, but I don't tend to venture too far away from what I'm already having. So maybe that's part of my luck. But this next one actually is pretty funny because Melissa is a perfect example of this. But this myth says you just don't like beer. When someone says that I don't like beer, 9 times out of 10, they just haven't had the right style yet. I've helped countless people find their ha-ha moment when they taste a beer they truly love for the first time. And I tried best not to say, I told you so. All beers are not created equal. If there's a flavor profile that exists in another beverage, chances are there's a beer equivalent that's just as enjoyable. And she's told me the story a couple times where, you know, in college and, you know, she never really liked beer. She, you know, everybody was drinking, like you said earlier, the big breweries, the Coors, the Bud Light. And, you know, those really, like you said, those are just to get the quantity down. But, you know, when you try something that's good and that's done right, it's easier to drink. So now she's a big fan, just like you, of the darker beers. She won't touch the hoppier stuff that I'd like, but she really does enjoy a good quality porter or stout, something like that, whereas any of those pilsners and those mass-produced beers she does not like. So I think that's very true, that, you know, somebody finding something that, based on what they've had in this, you know, mass consumption that's out there, that if they try the right one, that, you know, they're going to change their tune.
Yeah, actually, I was kind of the same way, you know, younger in my earlier years. I'd go to college parties, and of course, they're always serving Miller Lite. It's always a keg of something that they have at these parties, and it's because it's broke college kids, and they're finding the cheapest beer they can get in the highest quantities, and that's pretty much what they're serving. So you're drinking a lot of shitty beer when you're younger in life, and then I think it isn't until later on when you have the guts to try some of the other, like you said, the darker stuff and some of the other flavors and offerings that you kind of find what tastes good to you. And for me, it came about when I started drinking some of the darker stuff, the stouts and the porters. And that's what I ended up really liking. So it's grown on me, but not until I kind of discovered craft beer and some of those more unique flavors.
No, there's definitely a lot out there. I mean, even just the range of what we've had over the course of this show, you know, I've got some here. I've got the hoppiers. I've got a wheat, India Pale Ale. I've got the coconut, the grapefruit. You know, I've got the cans all lined up here, and now the blood orange. And then between the peanut butter and chocolate ones that I've had, the coffee one that I had yesterday, there's so much out there that goes beyond. And I was one of those two that drank a lot of Miller Lite. I eventually got into Killian's, which for me was a premium beer, but I mean, it's still made by Coors. But, you know, branching out into that, it's like, oh, I really like that. And I don't even remember when it was that I started trying others. But you know, once you do, it's really hard to look back, and there's so much out there, and with great shops that are out there that really do have the variety, you can find something that you really can enjoy. So you just don't like beer is something that, I know for sure is not the case.
The next myth is aging makes beer better, and better is in quotes. A lot of craft beer drinkers have a beer cellar, myself included. And this is the person writing this, not me. The main idea behind a cellar is to store beers because they get better with age. While cellaring does change the flavor profile, bourbon barrel aged beers lose some heat. Wild yeast strains add more funk. The beer does not actually improve. It's just different. Properly made beer is ready to be consumed as soon as it is bottled. And I tend to agree with this. I don't like drinking beer that's been sitting around for a long time. And I don't think it's better at all. I like when I can go pick up some fresher brews at the store, bring them home, and be able to drink them in a certain amount of time. Even the bourbon barrel aged ones, that's great that the bourbon that's in it was aged in a barrel, but I don't need my beer to be ages old before I drink it. I think it just doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, well, I think it was Budweiser that came out with that boron date, which they tried to put that up into the, I guess into the conscience of people that were buying beer to see, you know, to make sure that they were getting something that was fresh. And coffee is very similar if you go to some of the nicer roasters, and they'll actually tell you when it was roasted. So, you know, if you go to any of the coffee boards or the forums or on Reddit, the people will usually tell you want to try to get it within, like you said, that 2 week range. Grind it, brew it, and drink it. Otherwise, it's terrible. And that's far from the case. But there is something to be said for something that's fresh. So beer is no different than just about anything else.
Yep, I agree.
All right, the final one here is dark beer is all the same. Dark is not a flavor. A dark color tells you only that some amount of kilned or roasted malt was used. It reveals next to nothing about the beer's flavor profile. It says nothing about the amount of hop character, bitterness, sweetness, or alcohol. It says little about the types of malt flavors or the presence or absence of fruity and spicy yeast products. All the claims that dark beers are heavy, a meal in a glass, poppycock. Guinness Draught is 4% alcohol, light-bodied and very low calorie. An English dark mild would be even lighter. So it seems like we said earlier, that you know the darker beers aren't always going to be the heaviest.
No, and it's definitely not all the same. Like the article says, there's really a limitless amount of flavor profiles out there, and it's all based off of, you know, how that beer was made, what ingredients were used, and how those ingredients were put together. So, I mean, you know, one dark beer. To me, I have a bunch of beer sitting, empty beer bottles sitting on my desk here, because just like you, I drink it during the episode while we're recording, and then it just pretty much just sits on my desk until, you know, at some point I'm sure I'll do something else with these bottles. But at this point, I feel like I can't throw them away. Like, they're collector's items for me.
That's true.
So at some point, I'm going to have to figure out how to put them on display down here or something like that, especially if we start doing a video podcast. But every beer to me is different. There's, you know, probably 15 bottles of beer on my desk right now, and every single one of them tastes different, and most of them are dark.
Yep. I mean, I thought we had the last one because this website had the related link there at the end, but there is one more. It says all strong beers are great for aging, which kind of goes with what it was earlier. But I guess hopefully by now people know that almost all beer is best drunk as fresh as possible. But it looks like many, I spent years squirreling away rare stouts, barley wines, and sours for rainy days. So don't age any beer that started its life as hop forward. Your 120-minute IPA is not bitter after 4 years. Don't age beers with coffee unless you like your beer to taste like green peppers. So, I'm a little like the one that said earlier. Then drink it fresh.
Well, just like drinking coffee, like, I mean, it starts to lose flavor, pretty quickly. So I would think that if you have coffee in your beer, you're gonna regret not drinking that sooner than later, because it's gonna lose some of that coffee flavor too.
Absolutely. So what else we got tonight?
I don't know. More stuff about alcohol, probably, Robert. Hey.
All right. Well, you know, shifting gears from the alcohol, how about we go to one of our other favorite topics, which is pranks.
And you know, you and I are both up for, you know, some. I think me more than you in the office pranks, because I really get a kick out of them. But I know you like to joke, at least joke around and you know, mess around a little bit while you're at work. Again, we've talked about how you have to have fun. But this particular BuzzFeed article goes, you know, it highlights some of what I would think are probably some of the hilarious, but also some of the worst ones that are out there. Some of them even make you cringe a little bit, and but they're all pretty funny. It's all lighter stuff that I think I would probably do.
Yeah, these are good. I like the title of the article. It says 19 people who had probably just started World War III. So, and I can see that happening, particularly with the first one, which is near and dear to me, with being a stack of Krispy Kreme boxes here, and it says, "Oh my God, I've never saw something so sad." And it's a stack of three Krispy Kreme, look like 12-pack boxes, and you open it up, and the inside has the Sharpie marker. It says April Fools, and it's a little baby carrot, some looks like snap peas, broccoli, and cauliflower, and a ranch dip there in the center.
Yeah, so it's a veggie tray inside of a Krispy Kreme box, in other words.
Oh, man, somebody's going to pay.
Asshole move, pure asshole move right there. Number two says unforgivable.
Yes.
And have you seen those cake pops that they have at Starbucks?
Yes.
They're delicious. In fact, I have a coworker whose wife makes these sometimes too, and they're
nice.
Phenomenal.
Save the $3.
But in this case, they put the, instead of having cake inside, they are
Brussels sprouts.
Thank you. Instead of having cake inside, they're Brussels sprouts on a stick that have been covered in chocolate and sprinkles. So when you bite into it, you're going to get the Brussels sprouts with the chocolate. Pretty fucking nasty.
Oh, man. Number three, why? And this is made to look like a bowl of chocolate-covered strawberries, but really what it is, and it doesn't say exactly what it is, but it's some sort of red chili pepper that's dipped in the chocolate to make it look like it's a chocolate-dipped strawberry and placed in a bowl. So when you go and dive into it, it's not a sweet strawberry. It's probably a very spicy pepper.
And if you're planning on doing this particular prank, if you're listening, make sure you chop the stem off the end of the pepper, because I think that would be a giveaway to me.
That'll give it away. But it's actually funny because when I was a kid, my cousin, we were at a pancake house, and they brought out the pancakes, and they have that little dish with the big scoop of butter in it. And she's probably maybe 8, 9 at the time, and she didn't know it was butter. She thought it was ice cream. So she took her spoon down in this big scoop of butter and put it right in her mouth. Yeah, so not good.
I have been known to mix up sour cream and cream cheese too. So,
I've
made some pretty interesting flavors in my lifetime by accidentally putting sour cream in something that was supposed to have cream cheese.
Yeah, they're not interchangeable. Number four looks good.
If someone pulled this shit, there'd be hell to pay. So it's a 20-piece chicken McNugget box, which we've talked about. I have taken these down before. And you open it up, and again, it's just a bunch. It's cucumbers, yellow
and
cherry tomatoes, and it's basically, I think I see a little bit of cauliflower down there. Again, this is a veggie tray that's inside of a 20-piece McNugget.
Number five here, I think, would drive my sister crazy, because she's got a little bit of that, little bit of obsessive compulsive in there and having to have things exactly right. And she'd probably start sorting these out. But this is a candy dish that's got a mix of M&Ms, Skittles, and Reese's Pieces mixed in one bowl.
That's just wrong. I'd eat it, though.
It's a mix of everything. I think the peanuts and the M&Ms the Reese's Pieces and the M&Ms would probably work out okay. But when you throw the Skittles in there, that's going to be like the odd man out. That's the third wheel.
That's true. I wish they weren't invited to the party. I'd rather eat it with just the M&Ms and the Reese's Pieces. But
number six, I could see pulling off.
So this is it says toothpaste doesn't belong in a sweet, beautiful Oreo. So this is somebody who has scooped out the frosting out of the middle of the Oreo and has put in its place toothpaste. Inside is the frosting. So it looks like an Oreo, but when you bite in, it's gonna be
not
gonna
be
different. It's a dick move. And if you notice, I don't know if there's any correlation here, but this asshole that's doing this has a can of what appears to be really cheap beer in a can right next to him. I think it says Big Blue.
Yeah, Big Blue.
You ever had Big Blue beer?
I don't know. It could be one of those generic sodas. All right, number seven, no. And this is cupcakes, which look like they've got yellow frosting on it. But really, it's good old yellow mustard.
I love mustard, but I don't love mustard. I guarantee I would not love mustard on a Funfetti cupcake, that's for sure.
That'd get you in trouble for sure. You know, especially with a cupcake where it's, you know, a cupcake is pretty much designed to eat the whole thing in one bite, or at least half of it. So if you get a mouthful of mustard like that, then you're going to be hating life.
This reminds me real quick. I need to bring the Bean Boozled box to work tomorrow and put it in a jar in the lunchroom.
Now, I have mine on my desk. And like I promised last week, I have it calling the Wheel of Disappointment. It's there. And I've been able to get kind of what I want by just threatening to open it.
The difference between you and me, though, is you actually are straightforward that you might get a shitty taste in jelly bean. I'm just going to put mine in a jar and put it in the lunchroom while I'm eating lunch and wait for people to come in and try to grab a jelly bean. I meant to grab them on Friday, but then it was like I was running a little bit late, and I'm like, I'll grab them on Monday. But I will do this, and I should probably also put it on video. So
yeah, set up your camera.
So this is number eight. This is somebody, Sour Patch Kids are sweet, not salty. Get that salt away. So this is somebody who has actually salted their Sour Patch Kids.
Ah, yuck.
That's disgusting. At least with the Sour Patch Kids, I mean, you have the sour on the inside, but it's sugar on the outside. So this is somebody who's just ruining the whole thing. The balance isn't there.
There's going to be a lot of angry people. All right, number nine. No one deserves this. My friend just gave me this and said, I got you a vegan Easter egg, and it's Cadbury foil wrapper wrapped around an avocado.
I do like avocado, but not if I'm expecting a Cadbury cream egg.
No. And hopefully by the time you unwrap this, you would look at it and know it wasn't chocolate, so you wouldn't have bit into it.
I mean, at least give me some tortilla chips with that, right?
Number 10 is just plain wrong.
This is fucking disgusting. First off, it's Miracle Whip, which I hate. I like mayonnaise.
It's tangy.
I hate Miracle Whip.
They call it salad dressing. It's not really a mayonnaise, and it's more tangy. It's got more vinegar or something in it.
Oh yeah, it's gross. It's gross. Yeah. It has no business being in my refrigerator, and it never is, by the way. But number 10, it says no one !! And here it is, an open bottle of Miracle Whip. Somebody has like a syringe and they're pumping the Miracle Whip into a chocolate covered donut.
Yeah, it doesn't belong in the refrigerator, disgusting. And doesn't belong in a donut either.
That's the worst.
Nasty. Number 11, just plain devious. So tomorrow is going to be a great day. For the last 6 months, I've been conditioning people to stop by McCube and take gum. Some people stop by multiple times a day. Hashtag April 1st. Hashtag I can't wait. Hashtag I can almost taste it, but you literally will. And this guy, Chris Ho, looks like he's been hanging in orbit, 1, 2, 4 orbit containers on his side of his cubicle for people to just come by and take a stick. But what he's done is he's taken Play-Doh and rolled it out and flattened it, and he's wrapping that up inside his orbit.
Yeah, so they look like the orbit pieces of gum, but it's Play-Doh that's been fashioned to look just like the stick of orbit gum. So he's pretty much turned his coworkers into like Pavlov's dogs here. Like, he's just ringing the bell, and they're going to come and salivate and want to come get some orbit gum.
I think they're going to wait for him when he walks out to his car.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to be him the next day at work. This one, Kelly thought this one was hilarious. So it says, Satan is alive and well. And this is probably one of the worst ones on here, but it's also hilarious. So it starts with just a piece of, like, it looks kind of like box. a 4x6 chunk of cardboard from a cut out of a cardboard box. And then it's been fashioned to be in the shape of kind of like one of those like fried chicken patties you'd get at like Burger King on the sandwich. And here it is. Somebody has made, in the next screen here, somebody's made like an egg.
Dip an egg, or egg
an
wash.
Egg wash. Puts the cardboard in the egg wash, then covers it in flour. So now they're pan frying the thick cardboard. And I mean, it does kind of look good.
It looks good.
It doesn't look bad. And then there it is on a sandwich. It's actually two pieces of bread with some lettuce, probably some Miracle Whip to do a little bit of extra damage. It looks good, but it's so nasty. Can you imagine biting into this? And it literally, you know, I always tell Kelly that, you know, because she every once in a while she'll get these turkey hot dogs, and I always joke that they taste like cardboard. Yep. I can't imagine they taste any more like cardboard than this sandwich here, though.
Oh man, number 13 I've seen before, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but the caption on the photo says some people just want to watch the world burn, and they're taking a small little like pocket or purse size, you know, container of Purell. Pop the cap off and replacing it with clear glue.
Oh, nice. So when somebody comes to sanitize their hands, they're putting glue all over their hands.
Just basically smearing glue around their hands.
Number 14 says, not the mayo. And it's somebody squirting toothpaste into the Hellman's mayonnaise.
I thought they might be doing it the other way around. They're putting the mayonnaise into the toothpaste. So they're going to brush their teeth with mayonnaise.
Oh, either way would suck. You could go both ways. If you could find a way to swap the mayonnaise and the Colgate, so that way when they go to brush their teeth, they're getting mayonnaise, and then they go to eat their sandwich, and there's toothpaste on it.
They're putting toothpaste on their cardboard sandwich.
Next one's similar to this.
Won't somebody think about the teeth? Won't somebody? And it's, swapping yellow mustard for toothpaste, and I don't quite get how that's going to be. I mean, one's yellow, and I've never seen a yellow toothpaste, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think I might notice that one.
Yeah. Number 16, not good.
It says why. It's somebody putting Tabasco sauce into a Reese's peanut butter cup. They've kind of hollowed out the center or dug from the bottom of the peanut butter cup. So they took the wrapper off, tipped it upside down, dug a little chunk out, and is putting some sort of red sauce, whether it be sriracha or Tabasco, right into the inside of the peanut butter cup.
Yeah, number 17 is very similar to the avocado earlier, but it's taking the little Cadbury mini eggs and wrapping the foil wrapper around a grape. Wrap grapes like Easter eggs put in the lunchbox. So I guess you're tricking the kid into thinking they've got a big bag full of candy when really it's just a big bag full of grapes.
And they have asshole parents.
Parents that didn't have enough to do, I guess.
Number 18.
This is horrible. Number 18 is bad, although I could see maybe doing this at some point.
It says I'm shaking, and what it is it's a Kraft macaroni and cheese box and an empty pitcher, and they pull out the cheese, the cheese powder that you normally add into the noodles after you've boiled them and add milk and butter and stuff like that, put it in the pitcher, and then add water, and they've had they have a disguise in their fridge as orange juice.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much just cheese water. I might not hate that, though. I mean, again, it's one of those things if I'm expecting orange juice, but
yeah,
I do like
you would
cheese.
Hate it.
Probably. I love cheese, probably not in a glass as a beverage, though.
Yeah, not good. Number 19.
I'm already laughing at this one. Sorry, go ahead.
Number 19, it's just so evil, and it's a cake that they've made, and on top of the icing, it's got the little, I guess the green gel writing, the gel squeeze stuff that you can use to write the letters, and it says, find the toenail. So basically, if this was in my house, the whole cake is going in the trash.
So you're saying you wouldn't take a chance? I mean,
no.
Okay, think about this. If you cut it into 10 pieces, you'd still have, I mean, you'd have a decent sized slice, but you'd only have a 10% chance of getting a toenail.
Hey, I ate a vomit-flavored jelly bean. What do I have? What leg do I have to stand on to reject this?
It's all relative. You know, you're chewing, yeah. You bite down on something, it's not quite the texture of it's like, you know, eating a chicken wing and then you get a little bit of bone in your, except it's a toenail.
That's that,
and it's,
that gristle.
It's fucking nasty. And no, you're right. I probably wouldn't chance it either.
If you're out somewhere and you're eating your dinner and you get a hair in it, what happens? Do you immediately stop? Do you pull the hair out of your mouth and keep eating? What?
I pull the hair out of my mouth, put it on the plate, continue eating, and then I tell the waitress that I found a hair in my food and she either needs to give me new food or not charge me for my dinner. No,
after you've eaten the whole thing?
No, that's what I'd like to do. Actually, I had a buddy. So honestly, I don't know because I haven't found hair in my food late, you know, that I can think of. But I had a buddy once that he like finished the whole thing. And then when the waitress came over, he says, yeah, there was a hair in my food. And she goes, oh, well, you still ate it. He's like, yeah, but there was hair. Like, he just wouldn't.
he
basically just broke her and made her go get the manager, who I think actually comped his meal and gave him an extra one to go. I'm like, dude, you ate the fucking meal.
Yeah, you still ate it. Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, it really depends on what it is. I mean, stuff like that's going to happen. It's not. I mean, if I've got a big pile of hair in it, then, yeah, I'm probably sending it back. If I've got one hair, I don't, you know. I mean, if I'm for some reason really disgusted, then I kick it back. But usually it's like, eh, stuff like that happens. It's not like it was malicious or, I mean, as long as it was clean, I don't know. It was cooked, so whatever
either way,
were in there.
Either way,
neither
of us are eating the find a toenail cake.
No.
Let me ask you, though, have you ever found anything else in food? Because I can think of two things, and both were Kelly, bless her heart. But I can think of two different times where we found things in our food while we were eating at a restaurant.
No.
Well, I'll tell you about ours. One, we were at Macaroni Grill. She found
Macaroni Grill has always been less than kind to me.
But they let you draw on the table. It's fun. So we were at Macaroni Grill, and this was probably, I don't know, at least a dozen years ago. We might have not even been married yet. But she's eating some sort of pasta dish, and she sees something in there. She pulls it out. There was a receipt. Inside, it's not our receipt. That'd be kind of funny. No, but there's a receipt inside of her pasta dish. And I think they took care of us. They really, you know, they apologized.
Right.
I think they brought us some more food. They might have comped the meal or something like that.
Yeah.
The second time, though,
we were
at a local Italian restaurant. It's not a chain. It's like a family-owned restaurant, so you wouldn't hear. You wouldn't. I'm not going to. And it's a very popular restaurant in the area.
Okay.
But anyway, we eat our food. We order dessert. Kelly orders a cannoli. Mm-hmm. She's sitting
and
there
the same eating. Receipt's in there, isn't it?
The same one from Macaroni Grill from like years before. No,
wow.
So I know, mind blown.
Mind blown.
No. So anyway, so she's eating her cannoli and then she looks down and there is a, I don't even know what kind of bug this was, a bug
oh, no.
crawling around still. Like in the cannoli shell. So we get the waitress and we're like, you know, we're trying to be quiet because I don't want to ruin dinner
yeah.
for everybody, right? It's already been ruined for us at this point.
Right.
But anyway, so we get the waitress. We're like, yeah, there's a fucking bug crawling around. It's literally, it's crawling around. It's still alive. It's crawling around in the food.
Ew.
So the waitress takes it. And then, like, so they have the kitchen area. And I can see the kitchen area. I'm facing it. And they have the swinging doors that kind of swing yep. around. There's people coming in and out. But you can just see everybody, literally the entire staff almost of the restaurant is just, like, crowded around this where they're like, holy shit, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So then the owner of the restaurant comes out then, and he's the very stereotypical Italian guy,
yeah.
slick back hair, white button-up shirt that's like buttoned three or four buttons down, like
yep.
sleeves rolled
big
up.
Big chest of hair sticking out.
Lots of hair, gold chains, comes out, and he's, you know, just, I'm so sorry. What can I, you know, it was kind of funny because I'm like, well, at this point, their next thing that they should be saying is, we're not going to charge you for anything today
right.
as long as you just shut up and don't tell anybody this, right?
Yep.
He comes out, he's like, well, what can I do to help, you know, and I'm like, well, he's like, well, we're not going to charge, we won't charge you
for the cannoli.
Know, for her, the cannoli, well, no shit. And yeah, then he's like, okay. Well, we won't charge you for the wine, but it was, we ended up actually, they refused to comp the food, but
yeah.
you know, but at the same time, you know, it, lots of people go to this restaurant. We have not been back there since that night though.
Ugh. Yeah. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking gross. So we can't end an episode without talking about a crazy news story. And you know, the good news about the world that we live in is there's always people doing stupid shit that gives us stuff to talk about at the end of our episodes.
Not us this time.
No. The great thing is usually we're not the ones that are on the crazy news stories, which gives us the ability to freely talk about them and also judge the people that are in these crazy news stories.
So this is a young woman appears to have caused a head-on crash between a motorcycle and a car by distracting the drivers with her provocative dance moves. It says this video, believed to be shot in the Ukraine. Shows the woman twerking and strutting her stuff on the side of the road while her friend films it.
And she's wearing yoga pants, too, which...
I hope she's not washing those, because, you know, those fibers are going to destroy this planet.
They are.
I said, several cars pass by without incident, but as a motorcyclist approaches, she starts cheering to get his attention. The display appears to cause the motorcyclist and the driver of an oncoming BMW to take their eyes off the road. The vehicles collide head-on in the middle of the street, sending the motorcyclist flying through the air.
So I hope the guy's all right, but at the same time, it's crazy that somebody would...
Yeah, I mean, they have to know what they're doing.
Yeah, so you're driving down the street, and you see this chick who's, you know, yes, she's wearing yoga pants, but, I mean, you know, she's not... Without sounding like an asshole or a chauvinist, she's not that phenomenal-looking that would cause guys to... veer their attention off of the road, and she's not even twerking all that well.
Basically, it looks like it says, according to the article, that he's not okay. He did sustain a broken pelvis and leg.
Oh, man.
I've got a little bit of audio of the incident, so I'll play that for us.
Hope
now
it's worth it for him.
So they're kind of laughing about it, and you know, after a second you'll start to hear the motorcycle rev. Here he comes. So he sees what's going on. He's gonna Oh, yeah, not good. So I guess he sees them, you know, doing what they're doing, and he's going to rev up to show off. But meanwhile, the BMW coming from the other direction doesn't know he's there and has his eyes, what I would assume is his eyes diverted and watching what they're doing, and pretty much crosses over the line, and they hit head to head. So
maybe it was just shooting the gap. I didn't.
I'm the one that does the shooting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The gap.
You don't crash motorcycles. Next to twerking girls.
I wouldn't have been leering like he did, so I would have been okay. But you know, at the same time, you know, these ladies are probably at fault, and the video cuts off pretty quickly after that happens. So we don't really get the backstory about, or I guess the story after that, to know what happened.
She's at fault of being terrible at twerking.
I wouldn't know. I just read the article. I didn't watch the video.
I mean, I've seen twerking before, like, you know, on television and those these shows that the kids watch, but I don't think it looked like that. I think he was probably like, what the hell are these girls doing over here? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, he's had a bad day for sure.
Yep. That's worse than taking a baseball to the face. Taking a car to the face.
Definitely. A broken pelvis and leg will be a deal breaker for anybody.
He'll be all right. He's on the mend.
That's right. He'll survive.
We should call him.
Well, if he only knew we had a phone number, he'd probably call us.
He should call us. And if he wasn't in the Ukraine, hello, I heard you have a show. You were talking about me on your show last week. I crashed my motorcycle with the Ducati. I miss it. Very much.
I saw a guy twerking on the road, and I couldn't believe it.
I saw this lady. I don't know what she was doing. I was confused. That's the best Russian accent I can do anyway. Although I know that Ukraine is separate from Russia, but they sound the same.
It's all the same. All right. Well, you have anything else for us tonight?
No, I think that's it. I'm waiting for Kelly to start texting me, asking me. She actually did text me. She texted me, still recording, and then she texted me, it's her head drowning in a bowl of water. Oh, wait, no. I think she's crying, and she's drowning in her own tears is the particular bitmoji that she sent me. Just so everybody knows, she's not actually drowning in her own tears. She's perfectly fine. She
misses you.
Yeah, she didn't see me all day.
She doesn't like to share for you to you know. She doesn't like to have to share you with me, I think.
Yeah, you're robbing my attention on a Sunday evening, Robert, because I don't give her the other six nights of the week. You know,
that's right. I ask for what amounts to less than 2 hours every week. You know, a text here and there during the week to make sure you know. We're up to speed for our Sunday or Monday nights, but you know the least you could do is give me this little bit of time.
True. We'll still get an episode of House of Cards in.
Yeah, well, now I got to get to bed. 5 o'clock will be here early enough. So,
ooh, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody enjoyed the show, and as always, reach out to us on the website, thetwobobs.com. hello@thetwobobs.com is our email address.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on all the social things at
Two Bobs Podcast.
So reach out to us. Give us a phone call, 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627.
See you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.